devoted to this platform. Would you welcome this man of God to encourage our hearts, teach us some things tonight, Cody. Love you.
Good afternoon. I'm glad everybody is here. It is going to be a good night tonight. I'm excited about the message, and I will just say before I even get rolling on this, Mary Helen has not looked at my message, and I feel like she kind of pulled a little part of it, but it's okay. I'm not going to make her get up here and finish out the thought on that. I'm just kidding. So anyway, I am so glad that you're here tonight. I'm believing God for amazing things tonight. I'm believing that this message is going to help all of us, because I think if we're not careful, we can all get in a mindset of where we're just used to something. How many of y'all in here have ever gotten just used to something? You know what I'm talking about? I think all of us have. The title of the message is Living in the Natural, but Walking in the Supernatural. Here's the thing, y'all. We live in the natural. But you know what? I believe that we can have supernatural encounters with God and with people all throughout our week. And I'm going to explain to us tonight how we can encounter that and how we can step into that. And I want y'all to know that I'm on this journey with you. I got some course correction this week. I'll tell you about it a little bit later down. But we can all get used to something. And when we get used to something, it can take away the excitement in it to where it's just like, ah, I got to go to work today. Ah, I got to go to church today. Ah, I got to go to the store, whatever it may be. My two favorite days of the week, y'all, they're Saturday and Sunday. I love Saturdays and I love Sundays. Saturdays, I like to get up and cook breakfast. That's what I love to do. And my four-year-old, Emma, she's my little early bird. Hannah takes after her mom more. She likes to sleep a little bit. Mary Helen's like, yeah, I know. She's the one that I really prayed for that she would sleep, because Emma did not sleep the first couple years of her life. So Pastor Ronnie jokes about this, and he says they should just tell new parents, you're not going to get any sleep the first 4 or 5 years of their life. Even now, Emma is up about 7 o'clock every morning. It was so funny. I've been in there eating breakfast at the table before, and I'm the only one up, and she'll just come walking around the door. Hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, hey, baby, what's going on? Let's go on in there to mama. And she is just hilarious. And this is something else that she started doing at nighttime. We'll hear the door open. Her door makes a little squeak. So you'll hear it click, and then you'll hear, and it's all the way on the other end of the house. And we're like, she's coming. I'm like, play like you're asleep. So we sit there and we play like we're asleep. And she just stands there. And then finally one of us are like, hey, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, nothing, just wanted to talk. And so she just climbs up in bed with us, gets to hang out for a little bit, and then Mary Helen takes her back to bed and all that. So those are some of my favorite times right there, because you know what? I don't know what's going to happen. I have an idea in my mind and things like that, but it's exciting as she's getting older. She likes to help me cook breakfast now. Y'all, yesterday we did pancakes and scrambled eggs. Pancake batter got just, it stayed pretty much in the deal. It did good. But eggs, have you ever seen a four-year-old try and crack an egg? It's not like hit it on the side. It's like, let me just hit it like this and see what happens. So, needless to say, after we got the eggs cracked, fished out a little bit of an eggshell and stuff, we wound up with some eggs and pancakes. And it was great. And it was a lot of fun. And the reason I love doing these things with her is it's exciting. You never get the same thing twice. So it is so cool. And then on Sundays, you know what? I get to come up and go to church. Y'all, I love coming to church. I love seeing people's lives changed. I love seeing people receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I love seeing people set free. And we are so blessed here at Open Door to see people just about every Sunday come into a relationship with God, come into that relationship with Him, or rededicate their life. And my prayer is that we never get used to that. Y'all, we are so blessed to see that. There are so many churches that don't see that. And we get to see it just about every Sunday. And I believe that y'all have created such an atmosphere to make it easy for people to come into a relationship with Jesus. So now that I've shared with you that these are my two favorite days, let me tell you about what happened earlier this week. I think it was on about Monday. And y'all, I'm getting up and I'm ready to go to work and stuff. And I'm not having a bad attitude or anything, but I tell Mary Helen, I'm ready for the weekend again. And it's Monday. And she said, you know what? You need to enjoy the week and quit living for the weekend. And I said, okay, I guess you're right. It wasn't like a straight up rebuke, but it was just like a course correction. She didn't say, get behind me, Satan, or anything like that. So I think we're still on good terms. But the thing is that, you know what, we need to be walking in the joy of the Lord throughout the week. Because many times whenever we're so focused on ourselves or we're so focused on getting to a destination, we're going to miss what God has put in front of us. We can miss it. But whenever we stay focused on God and just say, Lord, I trust you. And Lord, give me joy throughout the day. And I know that there are many just tasks that go on that have to go on at work. There are some things that you have to do day in, day out at work that may not be the funnest thing. But you know what? If you can keep your heart with the heart of joy and you're going to go forward, I believe you're going to be more open to listen to the Lord whenever he prompts you in certain directions. Or whenever somebody is there and they're giving you a problem or something like that, to be able to give them encouragement, direction, things like that. So this message tonight is about living your day-to-day life, but believing God to show up in supernatural ways. All of us are going to have to get up and go to work tomorrow. All of us are going to have to go to the store at some point this week and buy groceries, unless you want to go hungry. And I don't suggest doing that. So, number one, don't miss the opportunity in the ordinary. We're going to look at two guys tonight, Acts 3, 1 through 3. We're looking at Peter and John. I really like these guys. Peter is the one who got told, get behind me, Satan. I haven't gotten told that yet, and I'm so glad. So let's look at this. Verse 3, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. They went to take part in church. Y'all, they were going to church. How many times do we wake up on a Sunday morning, Wednesday evening, Sunday night, whatever it is, and we go to church? And this is what they were doing, and they'd probably done it many times before that. But you know what? I believe they had a joy in their heart. You look at their lives and the lives that they lived, they could have gotten so focused on just, okay, we're going to church and this and that, and miss out on what's about to happen. Verse 2. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg for the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John to enter, he asked them for money. So Peter and John were going to church. Nothing out of the ordinary. It could be us going to work, us going to the store. Who will we run into that needs to hear about Jesus? I believe God is going to set up encounters this week so that whenever you're in a hurry and you're running and you're trying to get somewhere, you're going to remember what that almost bald-headed guy said Sunday night and say, God, what do you have for me tonight? What do you have for me to share with somebody? So it could be any of these things that are just normal day-to-day deals, but God wants to set it up to where, you know what, we're living in the supernatural. We're seeing God show up. Quick plug right here. We've been doing a class, Joy of Sharing Jesus. David Kovic is teaching about supernatural witnessing, supernatural sharing Jesus with others. Next Sunday, make sure you're there. We've had a great time in that class. If you haven't been able to make it, I'm sorry. But we've had a lot of fun. It's been an awesome class. Okay, so now back on the message. But there are some ways that we can miss these opportunities. We can be complainers. How many of y'all have ever found something to complain about? I know I have. All of us have. We can be complainers. Let me ask you this. What good does complaining do? Nothing. Does nothing. Nothing. Normally, it gets us more frustrated. How many of y'all have ever washed your car or something and you found a new scratch or a new dent? You know what I'm talking about? I know I've been there before. Back whenever my truck was new, I used to spend a lot of time washing it. And if I found something like that, I would notice that one little defect so much that it would just get me all frustrated and discombobulated and everything else. So we don't need to be complainers. We need to be a part of the solution. If we are going to have something to complain about, we need to be part of the solution. We need to be willing to step in and do that. Because whenever we're complaining about something, whatever we're complaining about, it's going to grow. What we focus on will grow in every area of our life. And Mary Helen hit on it tonight. Whenever we don't live with a thankful heart, we notice everything that's going wrong. You know what I'm saying? And we can miss what God is wanting to do because we are so busy complaining. So when we choose to focus on the negative in our jobs, in our relationships, or even at church, and we're going to find negatives in all three of those, but you choose to focus on that, you know what? It's going to grow. Before you know it, you're mad at everybody at work. You're mad at everybody in every one of your relationships, and you're mad at everybody at church. If you can change your perspective to begin to focus on the positives, you know what? It's going to change everything. And here's the deal, is that whenever we just focus on the negative, we're going to cover up the positive that God's going to want to do. What you focus on will grow. So if you find yourself being negative, being complaining about something, make a choice. Admit it. You know, that's one of the great things about God is that whenever we bring something to him, it doesn't catch him off guard. If I can say, God, you know what? I'm being very complaining and negative about this situation. God, I'm like, oh my goodness, are you really? I didn't know that. God knows that. It doesn't catch him off guard. So be willing to admit those things. Say, Lord, this is an area where I'm struggling. This is an area where I'm frustrated. This deal on my job, you know what? This person is driving me nuts, God. I think I'm about to push them off a dock right now. I drive a truck, like Pastor Ronnie said, so a lot of my mind goes there. Or whatever it may be. It was funny. I heard a story one time. These two guys were out there on the dock, and needless to say, one of them was pretty rough around the edges, and he pulled another guy in the trailer and goes, there's nobody else out here, and there's no cameras right here, so let's go. And it was like, whoa. Anyway, needless to say, nothing happened. But if you have a mind thought like that, don't act on it. Just wanting to throw that out there. That's free. All right, James 4:6. And he gives grace generously, as the scriptures say. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Y'all, this works in every situation. Grace is so awesome. Grace is God's unearned power at work in us to change us. And y'all, it is so amazing because I can take my bad attitude to God. I can take my hurt feelings, whatever it may be, and I can take it to God and I can say, God, this is going on. I need you to change my heart in this situation. I need you to change me in this situation. I need your empowerment because if I try and do it in my own strength, you know what? I'm going to fail every time. And I thank God in his sovereignty and just amazingness will run our own strength out to the ground to where we are relying on him. The Bible says that God opposes the proud. What's a proud person? Say, I can do this on my own. I've been that person before. It didn't work. It wasn't good. But he gives grace, his power, to the humble. The humble person says, Lord, without you, I can't do this. Lord, apart from you, I cannot do this. So apply God's grace to that area because you don't want to miss out walking in the supernatural. And there will be times that you will get frustrated over some things. I'm going to tell you something. It's okay. But be sure that you take those things to God and you don't let your frustration determine your future. Because if you let your frustration determine your future, you're going to miss out on what God has called you to and what God wants to do in and through you. Letter B. Some other barriers, things that can slow us down. It's the people we hang out with. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Can I tell you what? That friends are like elevators. They're going to take you up or they're going to take you down. You cannot hang out with anybody and not go in the direction they're going. So many times working with the teenagers, we will see them, which really right now we've got a really good group of teenagers back there, but in the past we've had some rough ones, and I've seen other young folks hanging out with them, and I can know the path that they're going to go down if they continue to hang out with them. But I can tell you what, it doesn't affect just teenagers. It affects us as adults. If I'm hanging around somebody who's always negative, can I tell you what, their negative smell or stench is going to rub off on me, and I'm going to find myself beginning to be negative, beginning to notice so many things that may be wrong in a situation. Because here's the deal. Whenever we focus on the negatives, they're going to continue to explode. They're going to continue to get big. Whenever we put people around us that will help us focus on the negatives, you know what? They're going to begin to rub off on us. And you are going to wind up smelling like them. I tell you what, I love cooking cheeseburgers and I love doing fajitas. And I can tell you that whenever I get done with those two things, you know what? I smell like them. Because I'm around it. I'm around the smoke. I'm around the fajitas and all that stuff. And you can tell that I've been cooking that day. So let me ask you this. What are you smelling like? Your friends that you're hanging around, what's the aroma of it's rubbing off of them and running onto you? I'm not talking about just if they got BO. But I'm talking about in their attitude, is it starting to rub off? And you can see this in so many people. You see somebody who's come and given their heart to the Lord, walking full force, but all of a sudden they start hanging out with somebody from their past. They start hanging out with somebody that they used to run with, and all of a sudden they don't smell the same. You know what? They used to sit right up in this area and worship God, but now they're slowly moving back and back and back until you don't see them anymore. Because they hung around the wrong people, they missed out on it. So, let your friends take you up. Hang around people that are going to be encouraging. Hang around people that will pick out the positives in every situation. Now, I'm not saying never address a negative situation. If you got something going on that needs to be addressed, address it. But try and find the solution as you're addressing it. That's okay. But whenever you're just going to sit there, or we're going to sit there and just complain about it and not do anything about it, but make people's life around us miserable, you're going to affect somebody by your miserable attitude. I will affect somebody by my miserable attitude. We've got to be on guard against those things. It was funny, in the class this morning, we were just talking, and one of the men there was sharing about how he got started coming to church, and it was his neighbor that invited him behind us. And the guy was sitting behind him, and he said, you know, whenever something's going on in my life, my friend, he doesn't have to sit there and, you know, just beat me up. He lets me talk. He listens. And then he reminds me, you're a man of God. You're not supposed to be acting like that. He said, he checks me. Can I tell you what? We need some people in our lives that are going to check us when our attitude gets a little out of whack. Whenever something is not jiving right, we need to have somebody in our life that will love us enough to say, hey, that's not the right attitude to have. All right, number two is be willing to be inconvenienced. Acts 2:2-3. Jump back in with Peter and John here. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in each day. He was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people into the temple. Verse 3, when he saw Peter and John enter, he asked them for money. Can I tell you something? I'm going to let you in on a secret. If you haven't been living for the Lord very long, or if you have been and you know this, I'm just going to share this with you. God's schedule is different than our schedule. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There will be times that things inconvenience you, that you have to be willing to be inconvenienced, to be used by God. Because here's the deal. Your inconvenience might be someone else's breakthrough. Oh, that's good. Yeah. That is so true, y'all. Your inconvenience might be someone else's breakthrough. So let me ask you this. How are you whenever God inconveniences you? Yeah. Yeah. How am I? Let's keep moving. We'll talk about it later. No, I'm kidding. I try and be really on purpose. I will tell you, though, you got to use wisdom. If you're on the clock at work and there's an opportunity to begin to share with somebody, you know what? If you're able to, do it while you're working and stuff like that. If you're not, you want to be a good employee. That's right. You want to do the best you can. I've got this one customer. Christian dude, loves the Lord, but can talk for 30 minutes straight. And I drive a truck. Normally, whenever I hit his place, I'm trying to get to one other town to get three other stops off in about, you know, an hour plus time, not much time. So I've got to know with him, you know what, I got to be quick, and we got to be direct, and we got to get to the point. And he's a great guy, loves the Lord and stuff, but I have to know how much time I can spend with him. Because here's the deal. What about if I'm out sharing Jesus with this guy or just encouraging him and stuff like that, and I miss these other three stops? And my boss pulls me into his office and goes, you were doing good on time, because it tracks all of our stops and how long we've been there and everything. And says, you know, you were doing good on time. What happened? Well, I got to talking to this guy about Jesus. My boss, as far as I know, is not a believer. He's a very nice guy, very good boss, but he's not a believer. What kind of example am I setting right there? You know, you have to be smart about those things, because whenever we're doing that, you know what? We're also witnessing to other people. They're seeing how we do our work and things like that. The Bible says, do your work unto the Lord, not as though you were doing it for men, but for God. So we got to allow ourselves to be inconvenienced. In this story right here, Peter and John, they could have said, we got to get to church. Can't pay attention to this guy. Somebody's going to get our seats. You know, I can't sit on the back row. I'll get distracted. How many of y'all ever thought that? Got to get there. Can't sit on the back. I'll get distracted. I'll be honest with you, that's me. I'll miss meet and greet. Y'all, let me tell you what. Meet and greet is so awesome that we have here. I want to encourage you. Y'all are the Sunday night crowd. On Sunday mornings, spend some time talking to some people. Get to know some folks during meet and greet. It's really important. They could have said, the coffee will be gone. There will be no more donuts. How many of y'all know coffee is great on Sunday mornings? I'm not much of a coffee fan, but I did drink some this morning. But they could have chosen all those things to not be inconvenienced by. Valid excuses. I want to get to church. I want a good seat. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know what? They chose to be inconvenienced. And by doing that, they were able to, number three, oh, let me say this one thing. But they didn't choose to let a mild inconvenience keep someone from a breakthrough. Y'all, we want to be a part of somebody's breakthrough, because that brings me so much joy. Whenever I get to share Jesus with somebody, whenever I get to pray with somebody, whenever I get to see a change happen in somebody's life. I remember one night, it was a while back, and there was a teenager, and I was coming around here. It was on a Wednesday night, and it was whenever my schedule still allowed me to make it on Wednesday nights a lot. And I was going back to the fellowship hall. I believe that's where we were having youth service at the time. That shows how long ago it was. But all of a sudden, I'm walking around, and I see a comb go flying, and this kid was mad and this and that. Well, I took him outside. Can I tell you what? I'm just like everybody else. I want to go into church. I want to go worship. I want to go hear the word. I want to be encouraged myself. So anyway, me and this young man, we walk outside, because he's just acting crazy and stuff. So if he's going to act crazy, we'll take him outside and let him act crazy out there. In the parking lot, really can't do anything. So we're out there talking, and as I'm talking with him, God begins to drop stuff in my spirit. And I'm able to share with him what God's saying. And you know what? I believe a breakthrough happened in his life that night. He was able to see that, you know what, God's real. God loves me. God showed up through me that night. What about if I had just gotten mad and just said, you know what, get off the property, get out of here. And now, granted, we did do that with some teenagers that we've had in the past that were just knuckleheads. But this boy here, I was sensitive to allow God to speak through me that night. I wish I could say that every time I've done that. I can't honestly say that probably every time I've done that. But Lord, help us be sensitive in those moments to point number three, be part of the miracle. Acts 3, 4 through 9. Peter and John looked at him intently. As they were looking at him, I wonder what was going through their mind. Think about it. What was going through their mind? They could have remembered this verse right here in John 14:12, whenever Jesus was still on the earth. He said, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. You ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. They had seen Jesus heal people. I believe they had probably remembered this scripture right here. Remember whenever Jesus had told them that. And they said, you know what, I'm going to step out in faith. So it says that they looked at him intently. And Peter said, look at us. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. He got something so much better. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. As he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking around and heard him praising God. Can I tell you what? That God wants to use us in supernatural signs and wonders, in miracles. And I believe that the Bible teaches that God still heals and delivers today. And we don't have to pray with or for everyone that we come in contact with to hear this. But we do need to be sensitive to Holy Spirit nudges and promptings. Whenever God brings that person around that is ready to receive exactly what God has for them, we need to be willing to step out like that. How many of y'all get nervous whenever God starts putting it on your heart to do something like that? I know, I'll be honest with you. I think all of us do. And can I tell you something? It's okay to get nervous and do that. Do it anyway. Even if you're nervous, do it afraid. It's okay. Because Peter and John, this story could have gone so much differently. They could have said, you know what? We're going to church. I got to get my coffee. I got to get my seat. I got to get my donuts, whatever it is. I heard they're giving out steaks at church. Man, we've had a lot of different food given out. If we ever got steaks given out, that would be, whoo, that'd be all right. That'd be cool. Maybe we can talk to the food pantry, find out how we can get some of those in over here. We'd have everybody in Waco at church, the open door. Hey, be cool if that kept them here. But anyway, we can say that, you know what, that scares me, but we can do it anyway. We can trust God, because this narrative could have turned out so much differently. But it didn't, y'all. It turned out with Peter and John being willing to be inconvenienced. And you know what? They got to see a miracle happen. They got to be part of that miracle. You know what? I want to be part of somebody's miracle. Just so that I can say, God, you know what? I was used by you today. God, you are so faithful to take somebody who at one time was living so opposite of you and use them however you want to. And y'all, that's my prayer so much. God, use my life. Use my life. Use the mess ups and all the craziness that's happened throughout it to bring glory to your name. Because that's what ultimately I want to do. So, sometimes though, people need help. Be willing to help them up. You notice what Peter did? He reached down and he picked the guy up with his hand. Helped him up. So be willing to help people. Do what you can do with what you have. If you're at the store and you have the funds to be able to buy somebody some groceries, do it. And God puts it on your heart to do it. You know what? If you don't, point them to the food pantry. Do what you can do and trust God with the rest of it. And as what I've found is that many times whenever I just do my part, God can step in and do the supernatural. Whenever I do what I can do in the natural, God can step in and do the supernatural. And if I can get Danny to go ahead and make his way up here, go ahead, and we're going to start wrapping this up, because I want us to spend some time with the Lord. I want us to talk to him about, God, what do you have for me this week? Because each one of you, I believe that God wants to use you supernaturally. It may be sharing his love with somebody. It may be praying for somebody and seeing them get up out of a wheelchair. I don't know what it is, but whatever God calls you to do, I want you to step forward into that. You know what? Speaking to myself, I want to step forward into that. Matthew 25, 35 through 40. And this is something that we need to keep at the forefront of our minds so that we have compassion towards people. Because that's what Jesus is. That's what Jesus did. He had compassion for people. In Matthew 25, 35 through 40, it says, "For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, you were doing it to me." Can I tell you what? People have value. There's a lot of hurt in this world, y'all. Watch the news. Not too much. It'll get you all sad and everything. But there's a lot of hurt in this world. People need the hope of Jesus. So as we get ready to head out this week, my prayer is that, you know what, we give people the hope of Jesus. Peter and John probably, you know, could have said, hey, let's go get some money. Let's just toss this guy some money. And that was actually looked at very highly whenever they would give to people on the road, the beggars and things like that of that time. They said, you know what, we got something better than that. In the name of Jesus Christ, Nazareth, get up and walk. You may know somebody who is just drowning in sin and all kinds of stuff. And you can say, you know what? I could do this, this, and this for you, but I'm going to tell you about Jesus instead. I'm going to share with you the hope of Jesus. Because here's the thing, the people that you will encounter this week, y'all, they're either going to spend eternity in heaven or they're going to spend eternity in hell. There's only two places that they're going to go. And my prayer is that we give folks the hope of heaven and that we begin that relationship with them and help walk that out and develop it. Because if we do that, and that's the main focus, God's going to line up other events and God will use you in supernatural ways. And I believe it and I want to see it done. Amen. Tell you what, the most important thing, if the worship team wants to go ahead and come on back up, the most important thing is that your heart is right with God. And the altar team, go ahead and make your way up here. Is that your heart has been made right with God. You've put your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's the number one. Number two, and this is a lot of just kind of you and God talking. It's still early, y'all. I want you to spend 5 minutes just saying, God, what do you have for me this week? Lord, show me in advance. God, put somebody on my heart. Because can I tell you what? If you ask God to put somebody on your heart for this week, He's going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to ask God, Lord, put somebody on my heart. And whenever we do that, be expecting God to show up and do what only He can do in